into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Welcome to the show today. I'm very excited about today's guest. I will introduce him in just a moment, but I also want to let you know that I have a slew of tickets to the Taboo Naughty But Nice show that's happening at the Vancouver Convention Center this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Oh, also a Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And there's a whole whack of tickets here that I have to give away. And I think I'll give out the cue to call at the end of the hour so I can speak with all of you. And you'll need to come to CITR here at UBC in the Student Union Building if you want to pick up these tickets. So stay tuned for that. And if you have a problem being patient, for example, if you can't wait till the end of the hour so you can get your hands on these tickets, you need to listen very intently to today's guest, Alan Locus. He is the author of Patience. He is a meditation teacher, an author, a Buddhist teacher, and he also used to work as a professional singer on Broadway, in opera, and wonderful, wonderful man. So welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much for being with us. And so, Patience, I've got your book here, and I don't know about you. I guess your patience is probably a lot better than mine, but I have very little patience for many things. Some things I have an incredible amount of patience for, and people are shocked and awed. And then the other things, like a woman standing next to me at Starbucks with very not a good sense of personal space, no patience for that.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what it is. We tend to say, I'm a patient person, or we say, I'm not a patient person. But in reality, that's really too simplistic. We're very complex beings. We're not just patient or just impatient. We're both. We're changing from moment to moment to moment. And under certain conditions, at certain times, we can be very patient. And at other times, we can be very impatient. I guess what we're looking for is, am I impatient more than I would like to be? Am I impatient and then really hurt myself and my loved ones and people in the workplace when I become impatient? And if that's the case, and it usually is for most of us, then we want to do something about it.
Well, Alan, let's start off, because clearly when some people say they're very patient, other people say I'm not patient at all, I'm thinking that maybe people have a different definition of what patience means. So what does it mean to you?
Well, you know, I always get a bit uneasy when someone asks me to define something like patience, although it's certainly a legitimate question, because what you're really asking is, what are we talking about? The issue with trying to define something that is a feeling, that is an experience, an emotion, as opposed to a specific thing, like you have something in front of you called a microphone, or you might have a copy of a book in front of you. Those are things, and we can all relate to that. But our experience of what patience is different for each of us. And we can see that if we, you know, if we gathered on our desk, let's say, five or six different dictionaries, as I have done. I have about 12, both in paper and online, that I use because I write. And I went through them all looking for their definitions of patience. And I really wasn't satisfied with any of them. What I ended up with, and if this will only take about 30 seconds, I can read this to you. This is kind of a conglomerate definition from various sources. So, patience is a virtuous quality characterized by calm endurance when dealing with difficult circumstances, perseverance when facing provocation or delay, not reacting negatively to annoyance or anger, forbearance when under stress, particularly that which is long-term, steadfastness when faced with difficulties, bearing misfortune or pain without loss of temper. Well, even if that was all one definition, the problem with that is that you have words within the definition that need to be defined. For instance, endurance, perseverance, provocation. What is steadfastness? And that really, to me, is the issue. And it's not that we shouldn't attempt to define it, but we also need to know that it is an experience. On a certain level, we all know what patience is, and on a certain level, we all know what impatience is. I think the issue really is there anything I can do about my impatience?
So, Alan, my question for you, before we get into what we can do about our impatience, is after all of the years of study and meditation, you've even studied under the Dalai Lama, Thich Nhat Hanh, do you consider yourself patient now?
Let me answer that two ways. I am much more patient than I used to be, which I think is essentially what any of us can really strive for, is progress. And relative to what we might estimate is average patience, I'm probably a bit more average. A bit more patient than average. I spent a lot of my life teaching, and that, you know, you just need to be patient if you're going to teach. I've been a parent. I still am a parent, but she's an adult now. Anyone who has been a parent knows that that's going to test your patience. So, yeah, I'm fairly patient.
Wonderful.
How about you, by the way?
Yeah, I'm not very patient. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I have an incredible amount of patience for certain things where people will be like, wow, you're so patient. I would totally lose it if I had to deal with the situation. And then other situations where I'm just ready to, yeah, just blow my top over just the tiniest things. Right. Or like Christmas presents, anytime someone says, I have a surprise for you, I'm like, I want to know, what is it? Even though I know it's going to ruin the surprise and it's not going to be as fun, but my impatience is so strong that I'm like wondering and wanting to know what it is.
Yeah, but you know, Marie, that's not harmful. That, you know, that's fine when we're dealing with that kind of patience that's sort of an anticipation. You know, that's almost fun. That's not going to hurt anyone. It's the impatience that has the potential for us to lash out, or even if we don't lash out. You know, you mentioned being on a line at Starbucks. If my experience waiting on line at Starbucks becomes just not a very pleasant experience, then why do I want to be there? Am I going to really be able to enjoy my 2% latte when I get it? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, can I work with the situation where the person online in front of me is crowding me, or two persons up on the line says, oh, I didn't bring enough money. Now, I know I have my credit card here someplace. Let me see if I can find. Where is that credit card? Oh, dear. And you're standing there, and you've put in a long day's work, and you want to get home, or you're heading for work. And it just becomes an agitated situation, and life loses its joy in those moments.
It does. So, I mean, as you're explaining that, my fists are clenched. I mean, I'm smiling because it's so funny, but I'm like shaking my fists in the air in frustration, just imagining what it would be like to be standing in that line. And so how do you handle that? Just the fact that I didn't turn to this lady this morning and be like, lady, move it, I think is pretty, you know, shows some level of patience. But inside, she crowded me and I was like, ooh, this is uncomfortable. And I moved a little bit and I thought, oh, you know, maybe she's just wanting to get closer to the whatever she was looking at. And it happened about three times. And at that point, I was like, I felt the agitation and I just kind of was like, okay, obviously she's one of these people who doesn't have good spatial boundaries. And I tried to let it go, but it really was quite irritating.
Well, you know, before I actually started writing this book, Patience, I did quite a bit of research to see, you know, what had been learned before by others. And then I did my own questionnaire, very short questionnaire that I sent out to thousands of people, and not at random, people who were friends of friends, friends of relatives, and, you know, it spread out like that across the country. And the first thing, what was on the questionnaire, two questions. One, under what conditions are you most likely to lose your patience? And two, what do you do about it? The first thing I learned is most people don't want to talk about it. Out of thousands of questionnaires sent out, and I guaranteed that no names were going to be used, I only received back a few hundred. So when I questioned some of my closer friends about why they didn't send this back, they said, you know, I don't want to talk about it, and I don't really want to see it in print. Because even if my name is not used, you know, my wife's going to figure out I was speaking about her, and she's going to know somehow it was me, even though that's so highly unlikely. But people essentially didn't want to address it. Now, those who did, and related to what you were just speaking about at Starbucks, the number one answer that came back as to why people lose their patience was when I feel I'm not being heard. And by extension, when I feel I'm not being seen, when I'm invisible. And that's essentially what happened to you at Starbucks. This person didn't see you, didn't recognize you, you become invisible, and that's one of the main causes of impatience.
And so does that also extend into perhaps a level of respect or not being respected?
I think it does, because suppose, let's take Mrs. Smith, who has asked Mr. Smith to take the garbage out each evening, and each time he forgets to do it, she takes that on a personal level. It becomes much more than he didn't take the garbage out. It becomes he didn't take the garbage out because he doesn't respect my wishes, which becomes he doesn't even really care about me, because if he did, he would take the garbage out. And we begin to write these scenarios, which, of course, are very interesting to us because it's about me. And what is more interesting to me than me, even if it's negative? But in reality, what happened is he didn't take the garbage out. It has nothing to do with his love for you, his respect for you, his honoring you. Maybe he's an absent-minded professor. We don't know. But we get into writing our scenarios because of what we call in Buddhist practice, not seeing things as they really are. Mm. And what really happened is he didn't take the garbage out. All of the rest, Mrs. Smith made up. And that's not seeing things as they really are.
So, Alan, it sounds like a lot of what patience has to do with is the way you perceive the world and our filters and biases.
Yeah, very much so. You know, we tend to think, we can go back to our friends the Smiths again, that if only he would take the garbage out at night, then I would be happy. Or we think, if only my boss wasn't so rude, or if only I didn't have to go through this traffic each morning, or if only this, or if only that. And we just don't get to make those choices. We don't get to change the environment around us most of the time. But what we do get is exactly what you said. We do get our perceptions. In other words, we get to determine what our experience is going to be. And in that, we're really determining what our quality of life is going to be. Mm. It's a big point that you made.
And so, Alan, also that kind of goes into my next question. some people lose their patience in traffic and things like that. But do you find in the research that you've done, I can imagine that it's most difficult to maintain our patience in relationships?
Well, that's chapter two in the book. Chapter one being patience with self, because so many of us find the person with whom we lose our patience most often is ourself. But certainly in relationships, and we are always in relationship, by the way, always. The relationship that we're in most is the relationship with ourself, but then our personal relationships, our most intimate relationship, can be the most difficult, the one where we will lose our patience most often. And I would imagine that it's because that's where we have the most invested. That's the person with whom we're closest, with whom we're making life's major decisions. Where will we live? Will we have children, etc.? These are big things. And the intimacy also, you know, one of the things that I wrote in this chapter about relationships, the Bible, in most translations, uses the phrase, "he knew her," to speak about sexual relationships. Why that phrase, "he knew her"? I think it's because in our intimate relationships, we get to know another person more intimately than we can in any other way. And there's a great deal of trust and vulnerability in the relationships in which we are closest. So when little tiny things happen, like she forgets to, and again she squeezes the toothpaste tube from the top, well, what's the big deal, you know? But what happens is that anything else that hasn't been addressed on any level suddenly blows up because she didn't squeeze the toothpaste tube from the bottom. She squeezed it at the top. Something that's entirely inconsequential, and yet it becomes big.
Mm-hmm. So we're probably going to have to talk about communication and all of this the rest of the hour. It's coming up, but it's already time for a break. So we are speaking today with Alan Locus. He is the author of Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living. And if you would like to live more peacefully, then keep listening and check out his book, Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living. We will be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment. I am your host, Marie Bernard. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I hope you're having a fabulous Monday, and we'll be back in a flash.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca. Are you interested in radio but not quite sure how to get involved? CITR is the place for you. We are a volunteer-driven campus and community radio station with a variety of volunteer opportunities. Want to become an on-air programmer? Learn about promotions? Maybe become a news or arts reporter? Come learn about all the ways you can become involved at CITR. Volunteer orientations are held on the first Monday of every month at 6:30 p.m. If the first Monday falls on a statutory holiday, the orientation moves to the second Monday. Visit citr.ca for more information.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. And you're listening to the show on, well, You may be listening to it on 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And wherever you're listening from, thank you as always for being with me today. And you can check out my personal website, SpiritualShow.com. You can follow me on Facebook. My name there is Marie Bernard. There's also a group for Synchronicity. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm also on YouTube. My channel name is Spiritual Show there. And we are talking today with Alan Locus. He is the author of Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living. And his website is patiencebook.com. And Alan, is there anywhere else you'd like people to contact you?
I think that's fine. On the website, there are all sorts of contacts that go to Twitter or Facebook. The world is just this social network now, isn't it?
It is. I love it. It's so amazing to be able to connect with people on such a global scale. And then at the same time, if you've ever lived in a small town, you know how word gets around and there's always gossip.
Mm-hmm.
That happens now on a global scale with online networking.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And have you noticed that we need to be patient with technology? I mean, even if you install a new piece of software, which is, you know, sort of the easiest thing to do, it can be just maddening as you figure out what it is, that, the way they're trying to instruct you. Not to mention that somehow each one of these incredible devices, you know, our smartphone, our tablets, our computers, of course, how do they know exactly the moment to break down when it's just going to be destroying our day? They have this built-in intelligence, you know.
They do. I think it's, well, Murphy's Law, right?
That's probably it.
Yeah. So, Alan, before the break, you were talking about relationships and how things will be seemingly fine, and then all of a sudden she squeezes the tube of the toothpaste the wrong way for the last time and the hits the fan. And so let's talk about how we can deal with that, why that happens, and how we can fix it.
Well, you know, the real core and the work, and I should say, because I like to be open about this, if one wants to do the work to become a truly patient person, you need to know that it takes patience to develop patience. There are going to be times when you're going to slip up and you're going to think you've accomplished nothing, but we'll talk about how to build motivation, find out why each individual wants to become more patient, and if they really do. But to address specifically, you know, coming back to the person squeezing the toothpaste and all of a sudden everything blows up, and as you mentioned just before the break, we really need to speak about communication. We use the expression skillful speech, or sometimes right speech, and also the other side of that coin, which is skillful listening. And that's something we're rarely very good at, and we have to work at it. But in my view and in my experience, I don't think anything could improve relationships as quickly as a patient moment spent with awareness of the words we speak. Words are so powerful. They can uplift, they can inspire, but they can also devastate and do deep harm. I wonder how many among us remember back to something that was said to us years and years ago, and it was painful, and it has remained painful. You know, we can apologize for something that we say. Well, we can say it didn't come out the way I meant, I'm really sorry, but we can never really take back our words. And when we realize that, if we really do take that in, then we say, there are times when I just need to slow down, think about what I want to say, and then say it the way I want to say it. If we tune in to what we could call our inner landscape, what's going on within me, my thoughts, feelings, and sensations, we will feel when the fires start. We will feel when someone has pushed a button within us. And if we, instead of reacting and snapping back, if we instead stopped, created a pause, and we could even think of that kind of a pause as a sacred pause, if we create a pause right at that moment, we can save dignity, we can save relationships, and if you've ever heard the expression, a crime of passion, you realize that we can even save a life. So it's truly significant.
So, Alan, it's interesting with the pause, creating the pause, and how you said that you need to be patient with yourself about developing patience. I've been working on being more mindful. And one of the things that I strive to do is to have moments of mindful silence each day. But just remembering to be mindful takes practice.
Yes. One of my favorite teachers said, mindfulness is easy. Remembering to be mindful is not easy.
Yeah.
It's not our conditioning. It's not our conditioned behavior. If someone says something that strikes you as rude or arrogant or abusive, our conditioning is to strike back. And then what happens? Things become escalated until, hopefully, someone brings wisdom to the table and stops that and creates a pause and maybe says, wait a minute, this isn't really what we want to be doing. This is not how I really feel about you. I value our relationship, and we're really going off track here. Let's just pause and maybe start over again. But it's that pause when we feel attacked, when we feel threatened, when that woman online gets in our space. We need to be able to, as you said, we need to be able to bring mindfulness to the fore. We need to be able to look inside. This is the difficult part of the practice, and it's sort of where the book Patience goes, and that is through the book I try to teach how to stop and look inside at what is my experience right at this moment. I can feel, because of what someone said, I can feel the agitation developing within me. I can feel this woman next to me crowding into my space. What is going on inside? Just taking a look. What are my thoughts? What am I feeling? What physical sensations am I experiencing? And that is part of the practice of mindfulness. To be mindful, to be mindful. There's a reason for that word, that we become mindful of what is going on. But it's not usually where we go first, and that's where our work is.
So, Alan, aside from maybe hiring someone to follow me around all day and poke me with a stick whenever I'm not being mindful, what's one of the top ways that you would suggest people can remember to even practice this?
That's it's absolutely amazing the way you just said that, to have someone follow me around. Suppose that that person who was following you around was a close friend, and that person, whenever these moments of agitation or annoyance or disruption began inside, suppose that person just tapped you on the shoulder and just simply said the word patience. Wouldn't have to say anything else, but just simply said patience. Now remember that when someone is bugging you and someone is pushing your buttons, that's not where the mind goes. At least it's not where the untrained mind goes. Now this friend who we spoke about, who's right there with you, we actually have such a friend. The friend will need a little training to know what to do. That friend is our mind. The mind can be trained to feel and to sense what is going on inside, to sense these feelings that are arising, these sensations. You know, there's enough research now that tells us that if there is a feeling that is arising, it is going to manifest in sensations in the body. Sometimes they're very subtle and we have to look for them, but they're going to be there. So we either recognize the feeling or we recognize the sensations, and then we have to be wise enough to say to ourselves, stop, stop. It is wise and it is compassionate for myself and the other to stop for a moment and just look at what is going on within, and then proceed in a way that, again, I'm going to use the word wise. What is the wise thing? What is the skillful thing to do? This is not about right and wrong, because it would be very difficult to figure out right and wrong. But what we can figure out is, in this moment, am I going to create what can lead to happiness, or am I going to create what is going to lead to unhappiness? And that, if we really look, we will be able to see.
I really love that. What's effective and what is going to lead to happiness?
Yeah, the way the Buddhists would say it would be, how do we alleviate, how do we minimize, and how do we ultimately end suffering?
Mm-hmm.
End suffering in ourselves and end suffering in the world. But as I'm sure you've noticed, we're not moving in that direction.
Well, when you said how do we minimize suffering, I for a moment I thought, oh, wouldn't that be so nice to have no suffering? And then my mind kind of went, yeah, but it might also be boring.
I don't know. I have no experience with that. And I really don't know who does. I don't know. Is suffering what creates the interest and excitement in our lives? Because if you say without at least some degree of suffering, life would be boring. It's really a moot question, because when we refer to suffering in this way, we're referring to the suffering that we cause ourselves and others.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of human existence is that there will be suffering, because birth itself involves suffering, old age can involve suffering, illness involves suffering, and death involves suffering. But it's the suffering that we create for ourselves, which is invariably unnecessary. That's the suffering that we want to address.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alan, I want to put out the phone number in case anyone has a question for you. We're speaking with Alan Locus. He is the author of Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living. If you'd like to contact him, you can go to his website, patiencebook.com. And if you want to get on the air and ask him a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. And you have so many points and meditations and tips that people can use throughout the book. Can we jump into a couple that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. You know, most of us from childhood on have heard certain almost cliche type suggestions that can be used as skills to at least put a hold on our impatience. And we all know them. They're the count to 10, or take a deep breath, even bite your lower lip, but not too hard. And we've all heard those, and most of us even know how to use them. They're skills, and they're very valuable skills, even if they seem trite. And even if they're not doing anything to create a depth of wisdom and building a truly patient person, they're nevertheless valuable, because in a given moment, they can stop a truly tragic incident from happening. Anything that stops the buildup of impatience and anger is valuable. But to go to a deeper level, to change our experience from one who becomes impatient fairly regularly and has to employ those skills to someone who lives life with more of a sense of ease, in other words, what we would call a more patient person, that's the part that really takes some work. And I think I mentioned earlier on that we need to be well motivated to do that. So the very first exercise in the book that comes at the end of the first chapter is to determine if one actually is motivated to do the work to become a more patient person. The suggestion is that for a period of a week, you take 5 minutes a day, and you could probably do it in 3 or 4 minutes a day, but you just sit down and get quiet and ask yourself, do or why do I want to do the work to become a patient person? Don't settle for answers like because I should, or because it's the right thing to do, or because she wants me to do it. Those are not really going to build the kind of motivation that you're going to need over time. When you ask yourself that question, why do I want to become a more patient person? You're looking for the things that are really personal and deep, and you need to be honest. You need to see that last night you snapped at the 4-year-old and really yelled and scared him, and that was absolutely unnecessary, and you don't want to do that again. Or you blew up at the office and just about got yourself fired, and you don't want to do that either, and you want to enjoy your relationships. But you need to ask yourself the question and sit with that question until you feel that you're getting to a deeper level. That's honestly, it might not feel very good to acknowledge why you feel you need to become a more patient person. But if you do this work, the motivation will be there, and you'll know why you want to do it. You'll also come to understand the fact that it does take patience to develop patience, but the motivation will be there.
And so what if you're one of these people, and I think in certain circumstances, any of us can be like this, where you just feel like, okay, well, I'd like to be patient. If someone could just send me some patience in the mail, I'd happily accept it. But I'm really too busy, too distracted, too lazy, too willful, whatever, to do what it takes to actually consistently work on this. What do you do if you're that kind of person?
Well, truthfully, then I think you live with it because no one else can do it for you. You know, it's like saying, gee, I'd like to have the body of that wonderful model or that bodybuilder. Well, you can want that all you want, but unless you go to the gym and then watch your diet, it's just simply not going to happen. So we all have our priorities, and that's why, I mean, you know, your question is really right on target, because that's why you have to look to see, is the motivation really there for me? You know, the other thing that you said that's really interesting is we actually don't even use language that's correct when it comes to patience. We say things like, I'm losing my patience, or I don't have enough patience. That suggests that it's some sort of commodity. You know, maybe we have this little sack inside of us with little pebbles of patience, and I use them up, and so I've run out of patience. It's not like that. Patience or impatience, or whichever one of them, arise in a given moment, in a given circumstance. And so on one day we might be patient in that circumstance, and in another day we might be impatient. You could be on that Starbucks line 3 days in a row, the same woman kind of taking up your space, and it just doesn't bother you. But on the next particular day, it's really annoying. And, you know, if you are prepared, if you've been doing this work, what becomes of interest to you is, isn't that interesting? You know, it's almost as if you do this. It's if you say, look at Marie experiencing impatience. You put this space between you and the experience itself so that you can back up and actually look at it. You don't own it. Impatience doesn't define character. Neither does anger. Neither does patience. They're feelings that arise in a given moment. That's all they are. Just as feelings arise, they will die away. If they don't die away, it's because we're clinging to them. But if we put that little space in there and say, isn't that interesting? then we have created a gap, and we've created a gap for something that is really much more worthwhile.
So I really like what you say about observing, and it sounds like the part of the key to this is really being the observer and not attaching yourself to those emotions, not identifying with the thoughts that we're having, but actually stepping back and allowing ourselves to observe what we're doing, how we're reacting.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. But we're really caught up in our conditioned behavior. Somebody gets in my space. The first thing that comes to the untrained mind is a desire to push them out of the way, to move away from that which we find unpleasant. You know, they say that all phenomena have either a tone that is either pleasant or unpleasant or kind of neutral. If it's pleasant, we want more of it. We want it to continue. We want it to stay. If it's unpleasant, we want it to end. We want it to push away. We don't want it. And both of them are actually forms of clinging and grasping. And they're going to cause us stress, distress, turmoil, suffering, because we're not really seeing things as they really are. It's fine, you know, to feel, I want my space, but understand that that's a feeling, and it's perhaps created certain sensations within the body. Take interest in that. What is my experience right now? Now, is an important point to be made here. This does not mean become a doormat. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that patience is passivity. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that we act in a way that helps us to see things clearly. So if it requires that action be taken, I know what I'm doing. I know why I'm taking that action. I don't want to act for the sake of revenge or vengeance. And it's very different, and it's important, and that's why it takes work, because those things are not always easy to see. You know, moral decisions are just not always black and white. So it really does take work. You used the word earlier on, perception. Our perceptions are very significant. They really help determine what our entire experience of life is going to be.
Alan, I just have to say I'm really enjoying this discussion. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
And I'm enjoying being with you.
Thank you. So I know now there's a girlfriend of mine who specifically, she's going to be listening to the podcast of this show, but I can imagine she might say, okay, so I go out and I buy this book, Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living, and I want to know patience right away. What am I going to get out of this book? How's it going to help me be more patient to read it cover to cover?
Now let's see. Does she want to become patient right away, or is she willing to read it cover to cover?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of what's on the very first page. See, you know what's on the very first page, and I love this, and I'm willing to say that because I didn't write it. But right up in the front of the book, it says, this inquiry, which of course is referring to this book, this inquiry does not seek theoretical knowledge, for we are inquiring not to understand virtue, but to become virtuous. Otherwise, our inquiry shall have been of little use. Now, you know who said that? Aristotle. Hmm. So the first thing that we say to your friend is, you can read the book cover to cover, and chances are you're going to learn something about patience. But are you seeking knowledge about a virtue, or are you seeking to become more virtuous? I don't even like the word virtuous in this context, because it suggests things that, you know, are not really all that pragmatic. But what it's really saying is, do you want to know about patience, or do you want to become more patient? If you just simply read this book, or almost any book, you will learn about the subject. But will you become more patient? I would say minimally. But if you really want to become a patient person, that's something else. And you would have to put some time in. But it's not a lot of time every day. That's the interesting thing, that to train the mind does take work. And that's all this is, really, is mind training. The mind is used to doing one thing. That's what we call conditioning or knee-jerk reactions. And we're going to coax the mind to do something else in the situations that would cause impatience to arise. We're going to begin to train the mind to stop, to look, to see things more clearly, and then make our decisions as to how we're going to act. So, you know, you might say to your friend, hey, let's look at the book together, because there are some things in the book that really work well if they're practiced with another person.
Thank you, Alan. And I wanted to actually ask you, with your website, which is patiencebook.com, or maybe you're on Facebook or something, I was thinking something that might be valuable is that people who are interested in developing patience could connect as a group on some kind of social networking platform to remind each other daily to practice patience.
Yes, on the website, if one goes on to the site, so to start with, you're on the home page, of course, and then if you click on teachings, you will see some written teachings, but in the upper right it says audio teachings, and those are recordings of talks that I do each week at the Community Meditation Center. And what I started actually this week is a real exploration of this book in detail. And all of those teachings are there. They're being posted on other websites. There's easy access to them. Listening to them together with others can be very useful. A number of the book clubs in the country have picked this book up. I'm doing book readings and workshops, seminars, kind of all over. The idea that you're suggesting is really a valuable idea, because not only do we get the support of others, we get the intellect of others. Someone sees something slightly differently than we do. And then, of course, we find out, am I a good listener? Is my mind open? Do I know how to practice beginner's mind? When someone speaks of something they've read in the book and I've understood it differently, do I now begin to cling to my views and remain adamant? Or can I listen to the views of others and say, ah, now that doesn't mean I automatically agree. It means I have listened. And maybe I say, now, let me make sure that I heard you clearly. Did you say this and this and this? And the person either says yes, or they say, well, I did say that, but now that I hear it back, let me just modify that a bit to this. And then you say, ah. And then you're having a worthwhile conversation. Again, this is that skill that we spoke about before called deep listening. Not easy, but I think your suggestion is a great one, that we can look at these practices together and learn together, and you're automatically practicing patience when you do it.
Yay. So it's like wonderful.
It is.
Well, it's time for a break, Ellen. So we will be back with more synchronicity in a moment. We are speaking today with Alan Locus. He is a meditation teacher. He is a former professional singer on Broadway in the opera. And he is, as you can tell, a very interesting, knowledgeable man on the concept of patience. And his book is called Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living. You can find him online at patiencebook.com. And he's also on Twitter, twitter.com. He's at Alan Locus, which is spelled L-O-K-O-S, if you want to follow him on Twitter. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Marie Bernard, and you can go to my website, spiritualshow.com. So we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Ready? Ready, steady. Ready, ready, steady, ready, ready, steady, ready, ready, steady, ready, ready, steady, ready, 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 steady, ready, 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 steady, ready, ready, steady, ready, ready,
steady, ready, ready, steady, ready, ready,
steady, ready, ready, steady, ready, ready, steady, ready, ready, steady,
on Tuesday, January 17th, UBC Radio, CITR, presents 24 hours of radio art, plunderphonics, experimental music, cut up in collage, bound sound, difficult music, spoken word, noise. Listen live at 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca.
Ready? Ready, steady.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And today we are speaking with Alan Locus. He is the author of Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living. And I am going to put out the cue to call in a few minutes. I'm probably going to end the show with a song, and you can give us a call when I put out the cue to call, 604-822-2487, because I've got a whole whack of free tickets to go to the Taboo Naughty But Nice show, which it's essentially a sex show, but it's not too scandalous. There's a little bit of mixture of naughty and nice. So if you want free tickets to that, then call at the end of the hour, 604-822-2487. But you will need to come to the station in the Student Union Building at UBC to pick up these tickets if you are a winner. So please keep that in mind when you're calling. And so, welcome back to the show, Alan.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Thank you. So we just have a few minutes left. If we have time, I'll talk to you about a couple more little practices that you've shared with us, that you've made available to share on the radio. But I'm wondering if there's anything, what's the most important point that you want to get across to people today?
Well, why don't we say that we can tuck this away in our mind, we can write it down on a piece of paper, because I think it's a big key to our happiness, and that is, only I can destroy my peace, and I choose not to do so. It's one of those thoughts that I think we could sit with for a couple of minutes every day and just say it over and over as if it was a mantra, but paying attention to what we're saying. Only I can destroy my peace, and I choose not to do so. It's you notice it's kind of a two-part practice. The first is the awareness that it's up to me. It's in my hands. I am the only one who can destroy my peace. And then there's a commitment to oneself that says, I choose not to do so. I have to tell you that someone had a funny line when I was teaching this a while back. They said, yes, I see that only I can destroy my peace, and I do a really good job of it. And someone else said, only I can destroy my peace, and my boss comes in a really close second. But the essence, you know, the point is there. It's so easy to think that, oh, if only it wasn't raining today, and if only I wasn't sitting in this traffic, and if only this. And, you know, we do that, if only, and then we blame. But the reality, when it comes right down to it, is it's within me. Only I can destroy my peace. So I think if we and your listeners would just sit with that and then bring it up and remind ourselves of that, life gets easier and more joyful. And what else could we ask for?
Well, I'm all for life being more joyful.
Yes, indeed.
So thank you so much for the work that you do in helping others to be able to access that more peaceful, joyful aspect of themselves.
Oh, you're welcome. It sounds like you're doing great work there also, and that's all we can do. We can just offer what we can.
Mm-hmm. And do our best and be patient with ourselves while
that's
we're
right.
trying to become
we're
more
patient.
We're
all in this soup together.
Okay, well, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, be patient.
Okay, thank
easy
you
to
so
say,
much.
Right?
It is easier said than done. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time, Alan, and for sharing this book with the world.
Thank you, Marie. It's really been a pleasure.
Take care. Bye bye. So we were speaking with Alan Locus. He is the author of Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living. If you have questions for him, you want to contact him, he's at www.patiencebook.com. And you can also check him out on Twitter. He is Alan Locus there, and his last name is spelled LOKOS. Okay, so it is time. Coming up in just a few minutes is Parts Unknown. So stick around for that here on CITR 101.9 FM. I am your host, Marie Bernard. We'll be back next Monday at noon with another fabulous episode of Synchronicity. I hope that in the meantime, you have a wonderful week and you're able to tap into even just a little bit of patience. And if you're not, please be patient with yourself while you're trying to get into this practice. So the cue to call now, if you want some taboo, naughty but nice show tickets, remember you do need to come directly to the station to pick them up, 604-822-2487. I will see you next week. Be well. Love you. Namaste.
Beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field, I'll meet you there. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field, I'll meet you. The soul lies down in that grass. The world is too full to talk about ideas and language. Even the phrase each other doesn't doing, there is a fear.
It's new. It's exciting. It's the sounds of Africa. For the sounds of African music, join me, Sheila Sam, every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9:30.